Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, this Football Monday, post-Super Bowl Monday edition. And visiting with us now is Bernie Kosar. We're going to continue our conversation with the quarterback about yesterday's game. Bernie, let's first of all talk about Joe Flacco, because he put up an amazing an amazing season in general with regard to when he got hot, which was the right time. He clearly took over this club, which was something the Ravens were waiting to happen, right? We always knew this as Ray Lewis's team, and yeah, Ray Lewis was the big story for this being his final game and all of that emotional stuff. But I thought it was the coming of age of Flacco, not just yesterday, but leading into it, that made all the difference in the world for the Ravens.
Well, again, you're exactly right. I mean, have 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, threw for more yards than Joe Montana did per game, when Montana had that magical year where he had, I think, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. See, he made play after play. He hit some stuff. He had some nice help around him. The offensive line was phenomenal. Antoine Bolden was real clutch again yesterday. And again, sometimes I think San Francisco helped them out. That first touchdown with a two-deep coverage from the right slot to let Antoine Bolden run down the middle, which is about 100% tendency of his when the safety has outside technique like that, to let him get open like that easy in the end zone. I know San Francisco regrets kind of probably blowing a tendency like that yesterday and letting a guy get open, and then getting that hot hand right off the bat. He kept going with it. You know, I think the thing that stands out, and again, I'm not trying to be critical, but to get to that level, whether it's us with the Browns or to other teams that want to compete, I think you have to really analyze yourself. And really, he made a major mortal sin yesterday, probably one of his only mistakes, but he took a sack on third down at the 35-yard line yesterday when they were in field goal range, which is a quarterback you don't want to do. And I know today he's feeling good about everything, but I know Ozzie, and I know how John Harbaugh's working with him, and although Cam Cameron was fired with about four or five games to go, the way he was kind of groomed, Coach Caldwell taking over, you know, he's going to actually think about how, of all those great things he did through the whole playoffs, 5 years, first quarterback to win playoff games, his first 5 years in the league, all of which at one point were on the road during each season.
Right.
For him, he'll actually talk and think about taking a sack from the 35-yard line to get out of field goal range to punt, to take away a chance for another 3 points, which, if Frisco scores at the end, could have been valuable. And again, that's nitpicking by me, but if you want to be a top tier quarterback, that's the way you got to analyze yourself. And I'm sure that Flacco and the Ravens will get down to that level of detail, and that's about the only thing I think you could find that maybe they didn't do well yesterday or through the playoffs.
I mean, with that blackout, that guy nearly spent an hour and a half of not touching the football. That an hour and a half, when you factor all the math in, and through that whole blackout, all he was doing, like several other Ravens players, was stretching or whatever. And again, I ask you as a quarterback, Bernie, taking you during the game, taking you away from the ball for an hour and a half, what happens? What goes through your mind? And I know you've never experienced that, but what is it that you could anticipate being a problem for a guy in the case of Joe Flacco, where he responded obviously well enough to it in the latter stages to become MVP?
Well, again, it comes back to what we talked about some in the first segment. Thank God for youth. Joe's fifth year in the league. He's still relatively a young guy. So he's not in his mid-30s to where the arm would tighten up as much as it would for an older guy. And he's able to stay somewhat loose. And he has a calm, cool demeanor anyways. I mean, you hear a lot of people say he's kind of a boring interview, kind of ho-hum at his press conferences. I think that's actually a heck of an asset for a quarterback like that to definitely withstand a disruption like he saw yesterday.
Bernie Kosar joining us here, as he always does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're talking about Super Bowl 47. So much to talk about, really a game for the ages for a lot of different reasons. Bernie, as we discuss again Flacco, here's the money question, which is the money. This guy gave up a chance to sign a contract extension prior to that postseason. And he basically does this in the course of the whole season. He does this, whatever. He takes this stand, his goal line stand with the Ravens to basically say, you're going to pay me. And he gives them now every reason in the world to pay him, the ultimate negotiation, which is win the Super Bowl and win the MVP. It doesn't get any better than that for a guy who's getting his new deal.
Yeah, on the surface, that's exactly right. But I got to tell you, if I'm his agent, if I'm in his family, if I'm one of his close friends, I'd run like hell away from me right now. Because when I run into him, and I'm going to make it a point to find him, one of the definite things I'd love to tell him is, yes, he could get probably as much as anybody right now. But that really comes at such a premium. And me and you say this all the time on the air and off the air. As quarterbacks, we are victims or beneficiaries of the guys around us. Right. Baltimore, without Flacco even being signed, they're over the cap next year. So that means that Antoine Bolden may not be back, Jacoby Jones, maybe it's an offensive lineman, depth at the running back position. You know, that's definitely something that's helped his career and helped him playing, and it's his teammates. And yeah, he could get as much as probably anybody can get, but it will come at a price of some of the guys around him, some of the weapons. And Ozzie truly has been the wizard at finding guys, finding pieces to the puzzle, and he's going to limit his own personal and team options and I think future of success if he gets too much, because it'll crush it against the cap.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and I think the balancing act that Ozzie Newsome has to do, and I know you spoke with him recently, your former teammate and the Hall of Fame tight end for the Browns, he's going to have to juggle all that. And I also wonder about Ozzie's future too, Bernie. Where does it, you know, come to the point where he might say, okay, another Super Bowl ring, this is a good time for me to maybe ride off in the sunset, or does he want to hang around for maybe more?
Well, I think whether we like to admit it or not, to ourselves or to other people, this game is so ingrained in us. I mean, he could even, this the way I'm listening to myself talk about how excited and passionate I feel about certain things. Well, Ozzie's that much and even more. And that's something where, you know, maybe today you think about it for a second, but I really think he's doing an unbelievable job. He loves the game. You know, he was a Hall of Fame tight end. He's a Hall of Fame executive right now, and, you know, he's at the top of his game. So I don't think, you know, he's in good health, good shape. He loves this game, and he means a lot to it. I don't see him calling it a day and riding off into the sunset.
No, he definitely, talked with him in New Orleans, and he looks and sounds terrific and has such a – I think the key with Ozzie, too, Bernie, is his demeanor, how he handles the balance that he brings with his perspective and how he likes other voices in the room, something he said he learned from Bill Belichick when he was here in Cleveland, that, you know, when they talk about personnel, everybody has a voice, everybody's voice who's in that room counts. And he referred to the partnerships that you have with your owner in the case of Steve Bisciotti now and the head coach, John Harbaugh, that those are important partnerships that have to be formed, and it just gives you such enlightenment about what the guy's all about.
Well, Ozzie, myself, we've all learned from some of the same people, and I think why we've been friends for so long is we definitely agree with that. And you want to incorporate people and smart people around you and people you respect, and everybody have a vested interest in it, just like we were just talking about. I mean, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have found that happy medium in terms of working together and in contracts. You know, Tom Brady could have been in this same spot that Joe Flacco was in, you know, a few years ago, and his contract has always kind of been in there so that he could keep pieces to the puzzle so that the team is more important than maybe an individual money thing. And I think when push comes to shove, you know, Ozzie and Joe are going to come to that same realization, no matter what the outside forces of family, friends, and agent are going to want to be hammering so that they could, you know, share in some of that newfound money.
A new class of Hall of Famers selected this weekend as well, Bernie, and I know you know so many of those guys, all of them really, in their inclusion in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just some thoughts about the way the choices went this year. It finally looks like the logjam at wide receiver could be breaking up with the selection of Chris Carter to break up that trio of Carter, Tim Brown, and Andre Reed.
Yeah, I think for all three of them, that was a nice thing that Chris Carter got in. From an introduction standpoint yesterday, watching Jonathan Ogden get that reception, I almost wish he was last because I felt bad for Robinson having to follow him yesterday. It was like you could have heard a pin drop after Jonathan got introduced. But, you know, all the guys are definitely deserving. And Coach Parcells to get in, he's had an influence on a lot of us through the game and a lot of coaches and a lot of players. And that kind of mindset and coaching style, even with some of my answers today, is predominant about how you look at the game, the core values of the game, the core principles of the game, the core principles of offense, defense, and special teams. No matter what generation it seems to be, it still stands up. Even today in 2013, you know, the game still has certain core things that you stand for. And Bill Parcells, when he won that first Super Bowl in 1986, some of those core fundamentals definitely still stand out today.
Yeah, no doubt. They carry through with a lot of people. Phil Simms tells me time and again when I, you know, talk with him, we did a book together, he says, basically everything you're hearing from me, what I know about football, he said, is through Bill Parcells. And in a lot of cases, he says, I'm just kind of repeating what he's heard from him. So very interesting stuff, and great conversation with you. Enjoyed it immensely, Bernie. We'll do this again soon.
Sounds great.
All right. He is the one and only Bernie Kosar joining us, as he regularly does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.